Welcome to What in God's Name. She's Shayna Appel.
And he's Chris Owen.
How you doing, Shayna?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
I'm just peachy. We're doing current events and culture from a philosophical and theological point of view. What in God's name is going on in the world? Shayna, I have something serious to share with you.
Oh, dear. Go ahead.
It's a dream I had the other evening, and I share it. Usually we start this show with a little lightness, and I thought today, we'll do something a little more serious to start the show. Reminded me of a comment that I heard a young person say once about the College of William and Mary. William and Mary is, according to this young person, the place where fun went to die.
Oh, dear.
So I thought, well, of course.
So we're going to start our show today with, okay, good.
What
Chris's
in God-
dream where fun went to die. Wow.
What
okay.
in God's name?
The Welcome to the season of Lent, my friends.
What in God's name? The podcast where fun went to die.
Yeah, no. That's not true.
So I had this dream, and it's personal to me, but I'm going to connect it to humanity, because today's show is a little bit about our common humanity, so that's why I decided this dream would be appropriate. Sometimes when I have a dream, I can really feel the emotion in my sleep life in a purer way than I can ever feel an emotion in my waking life. And I think it's because in sleep, our defenses are down.
Sure.
And so I had this vision of how much I could just feel the ache of my desire for my father, which is a theme in my life, but I felt it in an exquisite way. I almost cried, but it wasn't painful. It had this desire in it that was just so deeply connected, I felt, upon reflection, with just the life of life, like just the very source of life, that ache for father. So that's personal to me, but I know that you and all of our listeners, we carry these aches and these longings and these desires and these pains and the griefs, and they make us human. They just make us human. And I feel like when we reflect on current events and culture, we just have to keep that in mind. We have to start with our humanity. And of course, you have your own story, and all our listeners have their own stories where life is really alive for them.
That's so beautiful, Chris. And it reminds me of that, you know, that whole notion of our shared imperfection, our shared brokenness, that in so many ways, you know, we're not consciously aware of day in and day out, but those yearnings, those profound desires drive so much of our lives in terms of what we're seeking and what we're seeking to fix in the world. And it's fascinating and a wonderful time during Lent to be thinking about those places of deep yearning. So thanks for sharing that, Chris.
You're welcome. And so in contrast to the idea that our podcast is where fun came to die, I did want to share also with you that I received an email from a listener that began with, "Dear Reverend Dork."
Yay. Yay, it's catching on. It's either going to be Reverend Dork or Reverend Ginger Boy, right? Like my whole pile of names for you, Chris.
You have done it again.
Yes. You know, it dawned on me that I think the reason I used to do drugs was to get my head to expand in ways that it does with you, Chris, just in conversation.
Glad to be your drug.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Shayna sent me on assignment to Arizona in January. From January 16th through the 18th, I was learning about the borderlands in Arizona. Today's show, we're going to talk about my experience in the borderlands. We're going to focus on one piece of that experience in particular, which we'll introduce in a moment. But just to give you, Shayna, and our listeners a little bit of a sense of what this experience was like, it was a border issues fair. There were classes that I attended. One of the courses I took, Shayna, because I know really next to nothing about immigration, was a course called Immigration 101. And the presentation was by a woman named Allison Ball. And I'm not going to summarize her presentation, but I am going to say that it's available on YouTube for anyone to look at. It's a really good overview of immigration in our country. So just go to YouTube, and then in the search bar, Allison Ball on immigration. Allison is A-L YSON. So in addition to these courses, we also celebrated life at the border, the food, the culture, and the arts. But before the classes began, we had the opportunity to choose a field trip. And the field trip that I chose was to go into the desert with a group of people. We were led by a guide who took us to three different places where migrant remains have been found, and makeshift memorials have been constructed there. So we would go out into the desert, we would find this location, and we would pause and remember the person who was there, who is unknown, unknown to us. So Shana, the issues at the border are many. Issues about asylum, issues about adjudication. The aim of today's show is not to elucidate all of those. We're going to take as a jumping off point this little excursion into the desert that I had, led by a woman named Lori Juris. And we're going to play some sound where Lori is talking. She's giving us an orientation to what we're about to experience. So let's have a listen to that, and then we will discuss.
Okay, my name is Lori Juris. I live here. I've lived here for 30-something years. If you want to stop and have a moment, then stop and have a moment. Don't keep walking and not watch where you're going. And also watch the branches and the cactus. There's also little pieces of cactus on the trail that can get on your shoes. Everybody seems very well prepared. What would not be good would be flip-flops and bare skin, because you would pay the price. So where we're going is to three definite positive sites of recovered migrant remains. There's no question but that they're migrant remains because of where they are and the other stuff that was found there and all that. And these are official sites. So when you find the bones, like my neighbor did,
just
you call
in case.
The sheriff and they come and they make a case and they bag up the bones and they get the GPS coordinates and it's a case. And then so that happened kind of two times in a row in February of 2009. And then in the process of sort of knowing where those sites were and getting together some Samaritans to come and make a little ceremony, my partner Jennifer found yet more bones, really little bones. So we did the same thing subsequently, and then we called the medical examiner, and then I said, are these little bones related to either of the prior two sites? It was, you know, not very much of a big time difference. He said, no. It's a third person and it's a teenager. So we are not talking bodies. These are not graves. We're not even talking skeletons. We're talking scattered bones. This is a rough environment for a skeleton. So scattered bones in all three sites. All we know is that they're male. That's all we know, because if they have enough bones, and certainly with a pelvis you can tell if it's a male or a female. We don't know whether they knew each other, they didn't know each other. That's the story of the desert. Is you can say any story you want, you might be right and you might be wrong. They might have known each other, they might not. When we get up to a certain place and you look back and you see how close they were to Calle Uno, to this road, but did they know? I mean, were they too cold, too exhausted, too freaked out, or hallucinate? You don't know if they even knew how close they were to help, possible help. There are 12 sites of recovered human remains within walking distance of where you are right now. I guess that's about it. I just want to say something really good about our Office of Medical Examiner, because it's really important that you have some kind of public agency that wants to work to identify remains. And I'd say we're the gold standard along the Mexican border. It's needed in every county along the border, that's for sure, but it's not being done to that extent. They've got bone samples now from every recovered human remain since 2006. You know from watching forensic shows, it really matters whether you have skin or not, or teeth or tattoos or all that kind of stuff. But in order to do a DNA match, somebody has to say, I lost track of my person somewhere around Sasebo in some kind of time frame, and they need to give you some spit or some hair or some skin or something. And if you're undocumented, you're scared to provide that. So it's a complicated thing. But anyway, our medical examiner and also the Colibri Foundation, they just bend over backwards, do everything they can to try to make these matches, because these families need to know if they can know. But these three are desconocido. Okay, what's desconocido mean?
Unknown.
Unknown. They're not identified. And it's been so long now. It's been 11 years. It's pretty unlikely. It's not impossible, but it's pretty unlikely that they'll ever be identified and that their families will ever know for sure. So that's why it's even more important that we go.
So when Lori was done giving this introduction, she led us into the desert to each of these spots where migrant remains had been found. And we paused and held silence together, did some readings to honor and remember each of these people. 3,000 people have died in the Arizona desert since 2001, these migrants trying to make their way into the United States. If you want to get more information about that, I recommend the website humaneborders.org, humaneborders.org. So going into the desert to these spots where each individual person had died, it was a way to disaggregate this number, 3,000, that becomes an abstraction after a while. But going into the desert allowed me to say, okay, it's not 3,000, it's one person 3,000 times.
You know, the notion of all these people dying, you know, the number of people, the sheer number of people out there who are dying as unknowns, Lori called them desconocido. It ratchets up the inhumanity, I think, of the whole thing for me, in that that should never happen. I mean, a human life is sacred.
My cousin Mike, who's a friend of the podcast, recently posted on Facebook a quote from Alice Walker, and the quote is, "Look closely at the present you are constructing. It should look like the future you are dreaming." This is the work of the moral imagination, to imagine the world as it should be. And we know what it should be, and it shouldn't include these deaths in the desert. And what came home for me, just to be in those places with those memorials, is to remember our common humanity. I think this is the beginning of morality, Shana. To have that recognition. These are not aliens. These are not less than. These are human beings with their own dreams, their own desires. And that's why I started today's show, Shana, with talking about my dream. It's, we all have them, and they connect us.
I have to say the other place that I went with this whole thing is, of course, for those of us who are practicing Christians, the season of Lent is now upon us, a season in which we metaphorically travel out into the wilderness with Jesus for 40 days. And so in Scripture, the desert is a place where transformation happens, right? That's why Jesus went out there. You know, Jesus knows God's up to something with him, and now he's got to go out into the desert for 40 days and figure out what it means, not dissimilar from, you know, journeys that some indigenous groups do to go out into the desert for that moment of transformation. And I'm remembering the section from the interview we did with Kathleen McTeague, where she talks about the difference between service work and justice work. Justice work creates an inner transformation in us. Like service work you can do, you go out, you do service work, you come home, you feel good about yourself. Justice work you go out and do, you are transformed such that you come back and you have to fight for justice, because there is this transformation. And I'm just wondering, you know, have you given that any thought, or is there a place where that resonates?
Yeah, I have to say, this particular desert experience was not transformational for me in the way that you're describing it. It was an eye-opener. I mean, it's an eye-opener for me to learn how many people have died out in that desert. So for me, Shana, to visit those memorials, those sites where those migrants have died, it was another visit to a location of human pain and human suffering and human loss. And that's pretty familiar terrain for me. So my reflections go more in the direction of what I said earlier about moral imagination. And I think about moral imagination being the ability to see ourselves in other human beings, or from a theological perspective, seeing the image of God in the other. So that's where I go with this.
Such an interesting way to frame it. And we may be having a Martian Venusian moment here. You know, men being from Mars, women being from Venus. I hear you processing this in a headier way than I would have processed it, being on the ground and sort of just, for me, what would have been, I think, and it would have absolutely been transformational, is to know that, you know, I'm standing on a site where a young child's journey on this earth ended, you know, far too soon and unnecessarily, and like, good Lord, what is going on with us, you know, that we can't stop this or turn it around, or that there's no, I guess I find myself asking the question over and over again these days, what is it going to take? What is it going to take for people to finally stand up and say, enough of this?
Let's pause for a minute and introduce our funding campaign for the season of Lent. Shall
yes,
we do that?
Lovely, lovely.
So during the Christian season of Lent, we are appealing to you to help us out in our funding campaign. You can support our core values, be curious, go deep, and shine light in two ways. We do have a Patreon page, and if you go to our Patreon page, then you can find different levels of giving.
Just to be clear, Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
A second way that you can give is through our fiscal sponsor, Filmmakers Collaborative. Go to filmmakerscollaborative.com, click on Our Projects, and then in the search bar, type What in God's, or in fact, you can just type What, and we appear. And from there, you can make your donation.
The season of Lent is a time for personal transformation, but we hope that What in God's Name helps you throughout the year.
And guess what, Shana?
What, Chris?
We have an anonymous supporter who is putting up a matching grant, and that is for the amount of $1,000.
Oh my God, Chris, this is the first time I'm hearing about this. This is incredibly exciting.
It's very exciting. So
wow.
If you give $50, you're really giving $100 because our matching grant will match your donation. So help us to reach this goal of $1,000 so the matching grant can kick in.
And thank you, thank you, thank you to our benefactor, our anonymous benefactor out there. What an extraordinary gift that is.
So if you are already a giver, the matching gift will match how much you increase this year. So for example, if you are a Patreon donor at the $3 level and you go to the $10 level, it's a difference of $7. It's actually a difference of 14 because the matching grant matches
for
that
just the
difference.
1 month, or does it play out for
plays
the whole year?
Plays out for the whole year.
Beautiful.
Yeah, plays out for the whole year. So that would be 7 times 12.
Yeah,
so
which is a lot of money.
It keeps multiplying.
$84, something like that.
Thank you all for your generous support. And now back to the show.
I am still stuck on that transformation thing. Lent as being a time of transformation. We go out into the desert to experience transformation. And I'm also very mindful of how frightening that is for a lot of people, that whole notion that if I yield to transformation, I don't know where that ends. Like the show we did on Awe and Wonder, you know, if I yield to that, I don't know where it ends. I don't know what it's going to do to me. And that's a very frightening thing for folks, you know, unless you have some sort of faith that whatever it's going to be on the other side is going to be different from what it was, but that it's going to be okay. And the fact of the matter is, if we allow ourselves, for example, to be transformed by what's happening in our world today, it may throw our entire lives upside down. We may no longer be able to go on as normal.
And so these transformations would be not just me being transformed into a better, more compassionate person. It sounds like you're envisioning this It starts there, I mean, each individual heart, but it doesn't end there in your vision, that these personal transformations then translate into a different kind of public.
Honestly, if God's going to do a new thing here, we're going to have to get on board and be willing to do a new thing in order for that to come into being.
I've been framing that in the language of morality, and that can easily come across as kind of this abstract, like, what is the code that we're supposed to follow? But I really feel that that transformation is a moral transformation, and that it's not intellect only. It engages our cognition, but it really is this transformation of heart, where our hearts do open more widely to the world, to the suffering of the other. That comes home so deeply in the desert.
And that does not leave us unchanged. This is a good time for us to talk about this at the outset of a Lenten journey, again, because we're being called out to go out into a journey whose ends are unknown.
And then to form community around those transformations.
Yeah.
We need to be with others.
Well, when Jesus came back from the desert, he didn't just like sit in a cave as an enlightened human being. He then took what he, you know, whatever transformation had happened out there in the wilderness for him, he then took and made a public ministry.
I think of transformation as partly in terms of our becoming more human, the work of a lifetime.
What is the opposite of transformation? Obstinance. Stay curious, Chris.
Go deep, Shana.
And everyone out there, let's shine some light.
You can find us on Facebook at What in Gods. You can find us at our website, whatingods.com. That is WHATINGODS. See you next time.
See you next time, Chris.